All right, everybody, welcome to Yeah But Still. Jack and Brandon here. We have a very exciting
breaking major exclusive. We've got Jacob Wall on the pod.
We are hopefully gonna have Jacob Wall on the pod. We've talked about this for a long time, and I think you more than me kind of feel like the dog who finally caught the mailman, because I emailed him out of the blue. Actually, some listeners told me that he mentioned he would be taking podcast requests.
Yeah, you did not tell me about this until after he
responded 3 minutes later saying he's down.
Yeah.
And we're about to call Jacob Wool and do a conference.
Yeah.
But when I told you that, I mean, there's a little bit of, we've talked about this for so long, there's a little bit of like the dog finally catching the mailman and not knowing what to do.
Well, that was you for, months, maybe a year, have been like, it would be funny if we had Jacob Wall on the podcast. And I've always kind of been like, I don't know, would it? Like,
yeah, it's no, true. I mean, well, I'm fascinated by him because, like, he never breaks character. And I've always thought about having him on where I'm like, dude, I'd be really curious if we could just talk to him and see if we could even see like a crack. Like just one crack, because he's always on, and I know everybody knows it's fake, but he's so dedicated that it's like, I just want to see for myself. There's so many questions, and granted, you had like very, very good reservations about having him on, because
an initial moral dilemma.
Make no mistake, he's not a good guy. He's done bad things. He's made false rape allegations. He's done, paid people to lie. And who knows?
Yeah.
And not to mention, we completely disagree with him politically. But I think my thing with him is that for the reason he doesn't get sued for those is the same reason I don't think this is the same as having like Ann Coulter on or somebody.
Right.
It's that he's gotten to a place where when he says those things, no reasonable person believes him. So he can't.
Right.
He didn't actually damage Elizabeth Warren by saying she was in a BDSM relationship with a young troop.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't actually do damages that could be proven. So it's like, I know you were concerned about, like, giving him a platform. But to me, it's like he had a platform. And it's, like, getting smaller and smaller to the point where now it's, like, people are only watching as a joke. And he's on OnlyFans and, like, the platform, we're not risking giving him a platform. He had one and it's gone.
Right.
By his own doing.
Yeah, I mean, we talked it out and I think the game plan is strong. I think I think it'll be a productive dialogue.
we've talked this out, and honestly, Brandon, it's pretty much time, so I think we should try calling him in. What do you think?
All right, let's get Wall on the line.
All right, everybody. We're about to call Jacob Wool, but welcome to Yeah But Still.
Hi, this is Jacob Wall.
Hi. Can you hear us?
I can. I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, everybody. We have with us now a man that we've been interested in for a while, and I can't believe I'm finally talking to him. We have with us right now Jacob Wall. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. It's wonderful to be here, and I hope you're doing great as well.
Excellent. So, I don't even know where to start with you. When I first heard about you, Jacob, you were doing investing. And that was when you were pretty young. What made you switch to politics in the first place?
Well, what happened was I was, of course, running the fund in Los Angeles. And at the time, we had finally succeeded in rounding up a couple of Chinese family office investments. And so we were running the fund, and Vice came out to film in sort of a documentary. They filmed for 3 weeks straight, and then they made about 7 minutes out of it, which seemed like a waste of time, but that's how it works sometimes. And during that interview, they sort of asked me in passing who I thought would win the presidential election. And I said that my models show Trump is going to win. They planned to basically kind of ridicule that because, of course, that was very unusual to suggest that Trump would win the election. But instead, he did win. And so that gave it a whole new bent and a whole new angle. I then decided that I would get onto Twitter and start sharing some of my political viewpoints. And later into 2017, so this Vice interview is happening end of 2016. Later into 2017, the president begins retweeting my tweets, I think like five times, and replied to a couple of them. And this was when Trump didn't retweet a lot of people. I mean, he would retweet the vice president, but he didn't retweet civilians.
I remember that. Yeah.
You were kind of Trump's number one reply guy.
Yeah, I would say so. And so it worked out very nicely, and he began retweeting me, and that sort of thrust me into politics very quickly. And then, you know, at some point into 2018, this is all very nonlinear, but at some point into 2018, I was connected with Jack Berkman through a mutual friend, and he enlisted my expertise in media and in opposition research, as it were, to look into Robert Mueller. And of course, that generated press coverage that was exponentially more than anything I had gotten before combined.
Yeah, okay, I mean, when you say look into Robert Mueller, what do you mean exactly?
Well, the process that I follow when conducting opposition research is that I will begin with a copy of the person's freshman year high school yearbook and work all the way through to their senior year, whether it's online or it has to be purchased on eBay or what have you. And we just sort of go from there. In the course of looking into Mr. Mueller, what we did in many cases was we posed as people that were making a documentary about Mr. Mueller's life. That enabled us to talk to people from his background because these people thought that they were participating in a documentary. And over the course of that, of course, we unearthed an allegation that we thought was serious. We thought that, you know, should be brought forward, and held a press conference, a now infamous press conference.
You've done the press conference.
You've done a lot of these so far. I mean, Jacob, there's been a lot of people have come forward saying that you've paid them to lie about these people. And I'm honestly not here to really play gotcha with this stuff. I'm really just kind of fascinated with kind of like what your end game is with all this, because it made sense to me early on when the president was retweeting you, that made a lot of sense. You're like a young guy getting retweeted by the president of the United States. That makes perfect sense. But I feel like it's been a long time since then, and it's gotten to like a way different place. I just wondered.
Well, it has. It has gotten.
I do think the word unearthed is maybe the wrong word for what happened.
Well, be that as it may, there's different verbiage that you might use, but this is something that happens, of course. You know, accusers come out from people's past seemingly out of nowhere. I mean, you have to remember the backdrop of the Mueller press conference was that just days before, I mean, we were talking about Christine Blasey Ford. We were talking about Kavanaugh. That was happening at the time. That was the main thing. That was all over the place. And so that was the backdrop for it. But I think that's important. But talking about sort of the genesis of this, and okay, well, you did a press conference. So what happens next? Well, what happens next is I get a call from Ali Alexander, a friend of mine, and somebody who I'd actually gotten to know pretty well just recently to the phone call he gave me. And he said, we should go to Minnesota and we should look into these allegations against Ilhan Omar that our friend, our mutual friend, Laura Loomer keeps raising. You know, she's done some articles, but
I remember that too.
Yeah, and Laura had been harping. Laura had been harping on this for months.
There's been many of these I've seen you do, but
yeah, and we won't go through every one, but
nobody's taken any of them seriously yet. Why? Here's what I'll get to that.
But what I would say is, you know, so we did this documentary, and then what happens next? Well, what materializes, and everyone knows about the documentary Importing Ilhan, and of course, all of our accusations against her were proven completely true. She married her brother. There was an immigration fraud scheme that took place. Everyone knows it now. It's been all but confirmed by every media outlet, including her hometown newspaper. But
I don't think.
That.
Well, to be fair, I don't think that's been proven true, has it?
It has. I mean, the Star Tribune, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, has confirmed it. She refuses to do something as simple as tell the media, even off the record. I mean, I understand if she doesn't want her siblings doxed or something like that, but she won't even confirm who her siblings are off the record. And so it's been proven beyond any doubt. Ilhan Omar married her brother in order to help him take advantage of student loans, stay in the country under legal residency. And
I mean, I think we have different definitions of some words, but I guess, I mean, just to get back, I don't want to necessarily debate the validity of a lot of things.
I don't think that's productive either, but
I'm curious, like, if it's been worth it for you, because to me, watching these, let's even say that these all were true, people aren't taking them seriously, and I think your credibility is what's taking the hit, not these politicians you're going after. So even if they were true and you were like a Ronan Farrow figure, at a certain point, I would think that you would ask yourself, man, like, people aren't believing me when I'm saying this stuff. So there must be a more productive way to get the truth out there.
Well, what I would say is, you know, the Ilhan Omar documentary happened, and then it was a question of what comes next. That's always the question. And we looked at the Democratic primary and the candidates, and there were tons of candidates. There were new candidates every week, it seemed like. But one thing was clear. These candidates were not going to do so much as throw any sort of material jab at one another. This was going to be a fake primary. And at the end of the fake primary, they were going to crown Biden. That's what they were going to do. That was very, very clear from the beginning. Bernie's not a serious candidate. The bankers won't let Bernie win. He won't get the nomination. The bankers have threatened to pull the money from the DNC if he does. Okay, so that was what was going to happen. So the question was, how do we make an impact here? And what I would say is, over the course of that very boring, very dry, and very rigged Democratic primary, I think that Jack Berkman and I created some of the most memorable moments of that very boring, dry, and worthless primary. I think that most people would agree with that. I would say that our press conferences, whether you talk about Elizabeth Warren and the Marine or Kamala Harris and her trainer.
I honestly agree with you on these being memorable.
I agree that they are memorable and entertaining, but
what do you get out of it is my question.
Do you still believe the things that you were putting out? Or, I mean, did you ever believe them, or is it all just sort of a means to bring attention back to yourself? Would you consider yourself kind of an agent of chaos?
Well, some have described me as an agent of chaos. And it's certainly something that I can't disagree with. But so let's talk about what I get out of this, because there's a lot of, you know, debate about all this. Who's paying this guy? Who's paying this operation? Blah, blah, blah.
Are you still claiming that all of these things are true? Are you still claiming that Elizabeth Warren had an affair with a Marine?
Oh, she definitely did.
S&M,
I mean, she was
style?
Yes, yes. I wasn't in the room. He was cracking
at the press conference. He's laughing at the press conference.
He was very nervous. He was very nervous, Mr. Wheelie. He was very nervous, and maybe he had a bit of a nervous laughter, but that's no. I mean, you look at Bill Gates' talk, he can't get through a sentence without that weird giggling laughter, and that's just a nervous tick, really. It's just something that some people suffer with. But I continue to believe everything that we've brought forward. I mean, it's a very serious thing. You talk about Mayor Pete, you're talking about gay date rape. And, you know, this accuser, in the case of Mayor Pete, signed a sworn affidavit he wasn't paid anything. Nobody's ever come out and said, here's the check from Jacob Wohl. Here's the check from Jack Berkman. They paid me.
I mean, they have.
No, yeah, they haven't.
This happened,
no one's
this
ever
happened
said this.
Very, very recently, a woman came out and said that she was.
She said that some anonymous person showed up at her apartment building and handed her $40,000 cash. Nobody's seen any pictures of the cash. Nobody's seen any proof that any of this happened. And again, you know, you talk about, I mean, let's talk about the Mueller accuser, for instance, Carolyn Cass. She was harassed and harangued by the media to no end. She went from saying Jack and Jacob are good guys and I trust them in one interview with Ed and Brian Krasenstein, of all people, to then saying they're bad guys. They paid me $50,000 to, in another interview, these are all on the record interviews that are still on the internet, to then saying, actually, in fact, I was paid $500,000. So the numbers kept changing. The story kept changing. Nobody's ever been paid by us. That's one thing that's clear. And the other thing that I think is important is this is a self-funded operation. It's funded by, in large part, in most part, Jack, who's, you know, of course, a very successful lobbyist. But anyway, that's important to note as well.
So, I mean, with the Mueller story, I do want to just loop back to the Mueller story real quick, because it is documented in that HBO documentary, After Truth. It's like in your it's in your Instagram bio. You promote it.
Right.
In your bio, right? And on record, you're kind of being called out by all of these journalists, you know, about how, like, he was at jury duty that day. You, like, didn't have a name.
No, but he wasn't at jury duty. You know, and this they didn't show in the documentary. We knew the jury duty question would come up. And what we had printed at Kinko's was 150 copies, and we handed them out. And it was a copy of an FBI press release showing that he was at that very hotel on that day. The press release, I might add, is still on the internet. It's still out there. So he wasn't at jury duty that day. He was on jury duty on a different day during that week. He was not at jury duty on the day in question. This is a big lie. It's something that's been promulgated by the media. Just like this idea that somehow my mom's cell phone number was used. It wasn't used. I had a very simple VoIP system set up for the business, and the numbers went to my cell phone.
I mean,
you were
saying that the accuser was receiving death threats before you revealed the accuser's name.
And she was.
How did they direct the threats?
I'll tell you exactly how. Because the Gateway Pundit published her name. The Gateway Pundit got her name from somebody who was within our circle who told that person, and I won't say who the person is, because they're still in our circle. They're very valued, but they made it an error.
You're keeping these snakes in your circle, Jacob.
Well, she's not a snake, but she made an error of judgment.
Hmm.
And trusted a journalist to respect an embargo, and they didn't respect the embargo.
Even I wouldn't trust the Gateway Pundit.
Well, I think Jim's a great guy. I do. I think Jim's a great guy, and have always had a good time working with him. Jim Hoft, of course, who runs that site.
So, Brandon, did you have a follow-up with that? Or
No, I mean, I guess... What were you going to say about Elizabeth Warren?
Go ahead.
Jack.
We were talking a bit about Liz Warren and that the way that whole press conference worked out. But I guess where we had to loop back was in saying that nobody's ever proven that we've paid an accuser. And that remains true because we've never paid an accuser.
Well, there's people saying you did. So they're lying.
They're not telling the truth. Nobody has ever been paid. I mean, and we're very clear about any sort of indirect or in-kind contribution that they may receive. So, for instance, with the Buttigieg accuser, Mr. Kelly, he got a coach plane ticket. He got a Uber ride, and he received a Subway sandwich and a double caramel Frappuccino. And that was the extent of his compensation.
Wow. What kind of Subway sandwich, though?
Well, because it became this crazy story. You know, they harass these people into changing their stories. The media does. I mean, they called his parents. They called his uncle. They called everybody, threatening to dox him. The media, I mean, when I say they. And they changed their story. So when you talk about Kelly, I mean, it went from, you know, this is my story, here's my sworn attestation, to, I was kidnapped and they wouldn't let me leave and I had to escape and it was a daring escape and I had to jump off the back balcony. Crazy stuff. I mean, it just changed instantly. So these things that can change in the moment, they're always, always kind of by the seat of your pants because you don't know. I mean, can the person be bought off? Can the person be coerced to change sides, to come against us? It's a tough, tough thing.
Look, I, regardless, I mean, I don't think me and Brandon are going to get you to break here on, even if you were making this stuff up, I don't think you would be admitting it to us right now. I could tell. But even if, let's say hypothetically that this is, that was valid, what that happened really did happen with Elizabeth Warren. She was really dominating a troop, sexually. What do you make of that press conference? Cause you know, even if that were true, I don't think any reasonable political operative would think that went well.
Well, we have different measures than traditional political operatives have for whether something went well or whether...
Well, because all of these people, nothing's happened to them.
I mean, for instance, we do things at press conferences that no political operative would do. We offer donuts, for one thing. but... On top of that, we have to innovate. Of course, people say, is Jacob Wohl a performance artist? Of course, there's an element of performance involved. Of course there is. You have to put on a show. You have to package what you're bringing forward. You have to give people something to see. So I remember, you know, we were brainstorming one night, Jack Berkman and I. We said, what do? We've got to change something up. I said, Jack, we need to have a professional singer come in. We need to begin the press conference by leading everyone in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then we need to bring him or her out and do the national anthem. And we did the national anthem. And we did the national anthem alongside the biggest American flag that they sell on the entire internet. It's like a 40-foot flag. It just looks so over the top. It's a monument in the neighborhood now. But so, of course, there's an element there of show, of changing it up, of being unpredictable.
But, I mean... My question, I keep asking, but you know, the press at these press conferences, the journalists there, I mean, even at the early ones, they're laughing at you guys. So I guess I don't know what you get out of this. And that's what I'm most curious about, because you're not being paid to do this. I understand what like a Roger Stone gets out of doing this stuff, but I don't understand what you get out of doing this stuff.
Well, here's what I would say. The politics is hard. I mean, to plant a story, particularly a story against a Democrat, it's not an easy thing. There's a handful of people that are able to do it and have.
You did say plant a story.
Right. Plant a story, meaning seed the story into the media originally. You're the person originating the story. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very tough thing.
You wouldn't say
that
you're creating stories.
No, I'm saying that I'm seeding stories. And so it's a tough thing to do. It's very, very tough, but there is applications for this outside of politics. And so there are people that say that they're the masters of media manipulation. I mean, there's this guy, Ryan Holiday, who calls himself the guru of media manipulation. 99% of people have never heard of him. I have way more of any measure of being well-known than he does, but whatever. He considers himself the master, and he's praised my ability to do it. In a column in USA Today, in fact, and we've chatted a bit and we have a decent relationship. But what I would say is that what he knows and what I know is that doing these same sort of tactics to promote an invention, to promote a healthcare treatment, to get awareness around a music album, compared to politics, all of that stuff is child's play. And, you know, it's like once you play in the big leagues, if you go and play Little League, it's just not really a competition. And it's the same thing when it comes to the media manipulation skills, if you'll call it that. So, I mean, what you get out of it is on a given week, I'll have between 5 and 10 people reach out and say, hey, you know how to get media attention. You know how to make things trend on Twitter. You know how to make things spread and promulgate on the internet. Help me do that with my product or my service or my company, or help me. You know, you talk about politics, help me remove somebody from the board of fill in the blank. All legal, all ethical, you name it. But these are applications for my same skill set that go outside of the realm of politics and in fact are very commercially viable.
You would say all legal.
Certainly all legal.
So you're
saying... I mean, you've had some trouble with the law.
Well, before we get to that, Brandon, actually, so you're saying that this is kind of like your political work, even if you're not getting paid for this, it's kind of like a billboard to get you... You're saying to me that you get private sector work from this. That we
just private
don't know
sector
about.
Work and sometimes down-ticket political work. So you think about, okay, stopping the front-runner Democrat presidential candidate when you have a Democrat media is very tough to do, very hard.
Why would I believe that you're really getting those clients? Because it doesn't add up.
You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it, but it is what it is.
Because I think you're lying about getting those.
Well, you don't have to believe that that's the case. But the other application, and let me just add, is for...
Because if you are, then that makes perfect sense to me. I like get it then. I get the end game if you are getting that work.
Well, that's the end game as I represent it. I mean, that's the answer that you're going to get because that's the answer. So, I mean... I'm not interested.
But are those actually coming?
What do you mean?
You're young. I think, you know, my biggest question through all of this is that you're so young to have such a reputation and I think a negative reputation. I think it's hard to argue with that. I mean, you know, you're infamous.
Well, you're right. I mean, I've got a Wikipedia page, which is longer than 90% of the people who've served in the U.S. Senate.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, even if you wanted to change it up, it would be impossible for you to go get a regular job now if anybody Googled you, you know?
I mean, the Wikipedia page is, it's a long list of follies.
Well, that's how you might view it, but I view it very differently. I view it very differently. And what you have to understand is that everything's very, very deliberate. So if I viewed,
40 chess.
You know, for instance, if I viewed... the Pete Buttigieg press conference as a folly, well, then there would be no Elizabeth Warren press conference, obviously.
So you wouldn't view the Elizabeth Warren press conference as a folly?
No, it was a massive success. It was one of my greatest hits. It was on Saturday Night Live.
That's...
I mean, I guess it was a hit in that it got attention. And like,
I went when they brought out that son of a
your
bitch
name
whistleblower.
Was trending. Yeah.
When they brought out that guy and rolled him out. And they said, you don't get to know his name. We said, screw that. We're putting out a bounty for his name. 60 minutes. Boom. 60 minutes was all over it. The lawyer melted down. He said, they put a price on his head. They put a bounty out for his life. No, we just wanted his name. And of course, we did get his name and his name came out. But so this is, you know, this is another instance. But again, you know, a success in our view, as we see it. And, you know, you talk about Jack's side of things, right? The great thing about the lobbying business is that you have to disclose a certain percentage of your clients based upon very particular regulations and rules and laws. Well, Jack's lobbying business has only gotten much bigger since we've started all this. So, you know, while I understand your perspective, I mean, you come from a different bubble where these sort of things would make you less likely to hire someone to do X, Y, or Z. But there is another group of people, and I want you to kind of maybe empathize with this, but there's another group of people. They didn't go to the same schools. They don't do the same sorts of things, but they love this stuff. They absolutely love it.
I understand that, but I think it's gone. I've understood to an extent possible end games for you up to a certain point. And right now, I guess I'm just confused because I don't know. I don't think this path has been going upward. I think it's kind of been spiraling downwards for a little bit. When you consider starting with the investment and then being retweeted by the president, I think.
I mean, the intended trajectory seems unclear.
No, the trajectory for me was never to do what so many do. The trajectory for me was never to be the 1800th guy to show up at the Turning Points USA conference, take a selfie with Dan Crenshaw, have the same old page that every other young conservative has. I mean, you go down the list, you look at these kids, they're all the same. Washington Examiner contributor. I have a podcast. No one listens to it. No one cares. They all have a podcast. They all have a selfie with Dan Crenshaw. And I mean, basically it's rinse and repeat. You've got like copy and paste the same person times a couple of hundred. And that was never the path for me. I was never interested in that. I mean, I had offers after Trump retweeted me. I had an offer from Podcast One because for whatever reason, they thought this would translate to podcast listeners. And maybe they were right. Maybe they were wrong. To do all kinds of podcasts and get paid and this, that, and the other. And it was so censored and so ridiculous and what they wanted me to say and what they wanted me to promote and all these ridiculous underwear brands and this, that, and the other. It was just really sickening. I couldn't do it. But this has led to something else. This has led to my show on censored.tv, Man Up with Jacob Wool, where I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I have my own platform. I don't have to dick around with lame advertisers. And that's what you get in the podcast world is lame advertisers because podcast CPMs are low and lame advertisers can afford low CPMs because podcasts have what? They have a skip button. This is why you guys run Patreon. It's a better business model. People like your show, they can pay for it. It's just a much better business model than promoting another limp dick product every other week. You know, how many mattresses does Ben Shapiro sleep on? I really want to know. I mean, he's promoted a different mattress brand every other month for the last 3 years.
That's okay.
That, so that's what I call being a grifter. That's grifting. I mean, I get called a grifter, but where's my grift? I don't grift anything. I don't tell people to buy a book that was written by someone else. And I know the people that ghostwrite these books for these conservative talking heads. That's grifting. That's fraud. That's saying, read this book I wrote, but you didn't write it. I view that as fraudulent. I view that as grifting, but that's par for the course in political media. I don't do any of those type things.
I agree with you.
You would say that you haven't committed fraud.
Never.
Well, I agree with you here that you aren't a grifter. And that's I guess that's exactly the nature of my why I'm so confused is that I look at somebody like Charlie Kirk and I think, man, like, how does this guy do what he does? Granted, we believe opposite things, but for the most part, people just make fun of him and laugh at him. But I look at him and I'm like, okay, well, he's getting paid a lot, right? So you kind of
see him, he's getting his bag.
I mean, well, he's getting paid.
You'd be surprised. Not so much. I mean, it's a nonprofit deal.
Without the grift, I don't see your grift for this, and that's why I wonder, why is this worth it to you?
The ceiling on a Charlie Kirk is $500,000 a year. That's as much money as you can make doing that. And, you know, it is what it is. He does what he does, and that's that. It's a certain kind of operation. It's a certain brand. He is probably the best right-wing community organizer ever. I mean, really, Charlie Kirk, what he is, he's a community organizer. He organizes people, gets them together. For what? I'm not sure, other than going to the next conference. But that's what he does. He throws great parties. I mean, he throws tremendous parties. But so that's the deal there. But I don't engage in those same sort of things. But we can talk about an example here. You say, you know, what's your grift? I don't understand. Of course I make money with this and commercialize the attention I get. I've got an OnlyFans. We've got more than 500
subscribers. I was going to say that.
Okay,
but like,
I mean,
but why? Why do you have the OnlyFans if you're making money off the political and you say private sector stuff?
Because it's I couldn't leave the money on the table. It's sort of like people were begging for it. I would get these messages, mostly from liberals, I might add, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
they want to
so
enjoy.
You're saying that the cap for a Charlie Kirk, $500,000. What are we talking, Jacob Wall OnlyFans?
Well, you can do the math if you have more than 500 people at $50 a pop, and I will add, the main income does not come from the subscriptions. It comes from tips. What you get is you get tips, okay. and you get pay per message. And
I mean,
as
I'm sure you know, I'm behind the paywall. I'm on the OnlyFans.
You've been deep.
I'm deep on the OnlyFans.
And I appreciate it.
I'm deep on the OnlyFans. I have contributed to the OnlyFans and the Cameo. But I can't, you know, I'm not sure how many tips you're getting on OnlyFans if you're not really OnlyFans. It's oftentimes there's very explicit content on OnlyFans.
Oftentimes there is
bread and butter of
I'm certainly
OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And it's real softcore stuff.
It's not a pornography page.
I think it's hard to compete on OnlyFans if you're not showing, cock or hole.
I think Brandon's saying you're disrespecting the medium of OnlyFans.
Here's what I would say. Certainly, I'm the most successful person on OnlyFans to not show what you would describe as X-rated content. That's true. It shows you what percentile you're in. I'm right behind on OnlyFans. I'm right behind this gal with the last name Powell. I got the words mixed there. Powell, what's her first name? And she posts like sex tapes with rappers. That's her niche, I guess. And I'm right behind her. She's the person that's beating me out right now. Selena Powell, I believe, is her name. It just came to me.
I think you should try to you're right behind her.
Right behind her. Yeah, she's
right behind her. I think if you want to get right above, you gotta do
similar
stuff.
We'll see. I'm certainly getting a lot of suggestions, and I'm new to the platform, and
maybe,
one of the things I would say is
collab with Diamond and Silk.
I don't understand. There's all these e-girls in the conservative space. You guys don't do this on the left. I don't know why, but we have something called e-girls. They're cute girls.
We've got e-girls.
That's a bipartisan. That's Django. A bipartisan.
Maybe I've just never heard of them. But
that's nonpartisan.
We have them, and they're cute gals or whatever, and they show up at conferences. But you want to talk about like having a tough time commercially? These girls, if they're lucky, Charlie Kirk gives them a unpaid speaking gig. If they're really lucky, I mean, it's very rough out there for e-girls. E-girls on the conservative right. I don't understand why every one of them doesn't have an OnlyFans. I talk to these girls. I know all of them. I talk to them about it. And they're like, no, I don't know. My reputation, blah, blah. It's like, whatever. Make some money. You know, your reputation, this or that. Charlie Kirk won't like it. Who cares? I mean, it's just as I plan to do, I think maybe what we need to do is show up at Charlie Kirk's next event with a t-shirt that says sex work is real work.
So, Jacob, while we're on this, I'm actually kind of interested to hear you talk about this. To hear you talk about Ben Shapiro, then Charlie Kirk. My next question would be, who are people on the right that some people might assume that you are a fan of, but you actually don't like? Because it sounds like you don't like Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk.
No, I don't like Ben Shapiro, and he doesn't like me. That's the fact of it. And the turning points, I don't like the turning points people. I mean, the people at the top. I know a lot of the...
Has this played out in person?
Yeah, it has. It has. I mean, not in like anything crazy. It just some clever, bullying and all that kind of stuff. But it's all in good fun. I mean, it's all in good fun. I have a blast with it. But otherwise, besides those two outfits, I can't really think of anyone that I've come across that I don't like. I mean, I get along well with just about everyone.
So I guess going back to what we were talking about before, I think if I'm understanding you correctly, and I mean, if you believe this is what you believe, that's fine. So what you said to us was that basically all the political stuff, all the controversy was worth it because in the end you've been able to make money with his OnlyFans. Like that was kind of like an attention grabber.
That's not what I said, but I said I don't want to speak in certain terms where you say, Jacob Wool says he doesn't charge for anything, but he has a fitness plan and he has an OnlyFans. I do have a couple of outlets in which I do what we might call low ticket, small ticket business. And those are them. That's what that would be.
So what's the big ticket business?
Well, the big ticket business is that, for instance, you'll have a guy who, a far right real estate developer in Florida. And he's having issues with the local chapter of Greenpeace, who keeps bothering him, who keeps interrupting city hall meetings, and he needs to push something through. Well, he might reach out to me. Maybe he'll be referred in from somebody, word of mouth, what have you. And there will be one of two ways. Either you smear the person who runs the Greenpeace group to the point where you've interrupted their efforts to interrupt what you're doing. Or on the other hand, and what I found is a much more effective tactic, infiltrate the group and start some other controversy that enthralls them even more. And for the moment, at least gives them a new shiny object of which to attack that is different and unique from what they're attacking now, just long enough so that your client can get his approvals from the city council or whatever he's looking to do, the board of supervisors, whatever the case might be. So that's kind of a typical commercial application for my skill set. If you,
you know, without without incriminating yourself, can you give an example of one of the, you know, maybe some things people might have seen that you may or may not have been behind that we don't know about?
I don't want to, it's not so much about incriminating, but it's just a matter of breaching confidences with clients. But
sure,
there are things out there that, I'll put it this way, there are things out there that people have speculated that I'm behind, that I am behind, or I've played some role in. There are things going on right now making their way through the headlines that I'm attached to, that people don't know I'm attached to.
You're QAnon.
No, I'm certainly not. But
Jacob Wall is Q.
No.
What do you think about Q?
No, I think that whole thing is a tremendous fraud. I think it's kooky. I think it's nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm on record saying that in the Daily Beast from the very beginning. By the way, people did speculate that I was that, because I guess early on in the Q, you know, saga, the page, however it works, it's on this weird message board or something, like 1990s technology. Q was sharing a bunch of my tweets all the time. So, but it's not me. And I really strongly caution Republicans against following that sort of lunacy.
Do you? So I do want to, I like talking about, I do want to, you know, really focus on your trajectory, your journey. Right. And so we were talking about small ticket business. I feel like it all originally started with big ticket business, right? Like that was your intro to a lot, you know, the general public was that Vice video, right?
No, the Vice video came out actually about a year into everything. So
okay.
Because it was local news, and then local news led to a lot of Fox Business hits. So I was a Fox Business regular, and then also early 2016, early 2016, I was actually, believe it or not, a CNN and HLN regular. I did the Dr. Drew show a lot. I did Don Lemon a whole bunch, and they've since like wiped those clips from the internet because they were very praising of me. In fact, Don Lemon hit on me. I mean, this was well documented, but. Anyway, this is something that I did, and then Vice came later that October. But you know, it's a big.
I'm sorry. Like, I do appreciate that. It is funny talking to you, Jacob, because you say one thing and then you'll say another thing after it. The way you have a way with words that just cracks me up. You just said that. I'm not even accusing you of anything. I just want to point it out. It's very funny. You say, for instance, you said all the clips were erased from the internet and it was well documented, which if they're all erased from the internet, it's fundamentally not well documented. It's very funny. It's like almost like listening to you. It's easy to get tripped up on that.
It's almost like a juxtaposition or something inserted in there. But
so, I mean, Brandon, what was your question?
So my question was just
The big ticket.
You know, like big ticket to small ticket, right? I feel like it's, you know, there's been a lot of cracks in the foundation, you know, in that, you know, at one point you were kind of wool of Wall Street, right? Kind of become boy who cried wool, right? You know, there's a lot of I mean, the trading stuff, like was it 18 that you said that you had 10 years of trading experience?
Well, I truly did begin my very first trading when I was
at eight.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. It's in fact true, because when I was eight, and you guys will remember this when I was
this man was trading Pokemon cards.
No, you'll remember this though, but in like 2005 or six, you remember the brokerage firms, the economy was, you know, booming, and the brokerage firms would send out an offer in the mail. They'd say, open an account and we'll give you $500 free dollars to trade, because they knew you'd lose it all and then you'd put more money in the account and they'd make a bunch of money off of you.
And you were 8 years old.
Yeah. And one of these was sent in the mail to, I think, my mom. And I said, you know, I'm really interested in all this trading stuff. My ninth birthday cake, I kid you not, was a Bloomberg terminal, like on the cake. It was custom printed. at Tasteful Cakes. And so I mean, this is the real thing. I was trading in and out of the market, and in a real sense, sure, I did have 10 years experience. And obviously, people are not stupid. People who are investing in a hedge fund are not dumb people. They're sophisticated people, and they know who I am, and that's why they reached out. And they can look at 10 years trading experience, and they can say, okay, well, maybe that's a different 10 years than 10 years at Goldman Sachs, which is different from 10 years at Bridgewater, which is different than 10 years here. Whatever, they can make of that what they will, but in a true sense, it was the truth.
On the topic of trading, Brandon, I mean, do you mind?
Yeah, I want to hear more about the trading at age 8 and 9.
I'm fascinated by that too, but do have a question when we're talking about this. Last time I saw any news about it, you were awaiting trial on 3 charges of fraud for the trading, securities fraud, I think, right? But it got postponed, the trial. Is that still pending, or what's the status? Because I haven't heard an update.
I wish I could talk about that. I really, you don't know how much I'm biting my tongue here. I wish I could get into all of that, but I just can't. I just can't, and I can't get into that.
So the trial hasn't happened yet.
Well, I can say, as a matter of fact, there's been no trial. There's been no preliminary hearing even. So I can't say that much, and that's public. But
okay.
Otherwise, I can't get into it.
Because that's stretched out for a long time.
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, it's moving along. It's not. I mean, obviously the pandemic is stretching everything out in terms of just getting into court.
Yeah,
you can't. But
and then I guess a question that I maybe forgot to ask, or maybe you didn't quite answer before: has there been repercussions? You've done these like the Mueller press conference, the Liz Warren one. Has there been repercussions of any kind? Because I imagine you would get sued for those, whether or not you're telling the truth. I mean, that's lawsuits are a form of suppression. Has anything happened from those?
No, I've never. This is going to sound crazy. You're going to have to remember this, but in fact, I have never been sued. Even that little thing, and that little thing that people love to talk about in Arizona, that wasn't a lawsuit. It wasn't a civil proceeding. It was an administrative proceeding. And in fact, at the very end of that administrative proceeding, the person who actually filed the complaint died. And so they had to basically sign a settlement. And
coincidence?
The settlement admitted nor denied any wrongdoing. And so that was that. And the SEC, I will also add that the SEC did a full examination of me. Yeah, I was the youngest person, believe it or not, to be investigated by the SEC.
That's pretty amazing.
At age 19, I was at 444 Flower Street in downtown Los Angeles, under oath for 19 hours of depositions over, spread over 2 days, with the SEC. And, they looked at all the documents, they subpoenaed all the text messages, the emails, this, that, the other thing. And at the very end of their investigation, which concluded in July of 2017, they said, thank you very much for your cooperation, Mr. Wohl. We found no grounds for enforcement action. This concludes our involvement with you. And that was that. They were great professionals, and I will tell you, I've dealt with a lot of regulators and a lot of groups, and I will say that the SEC were consummate professionals.
What? How did you become Jacob Wohl? I mean, I think a lot of us are familiar with your dad. He's on Twitter and kind of similar.
And remember, he's been on Fox News.
Yeah,
my whole childhood, basically. He was on Court TV covering, if you remember, the Tukey Williams. He was in the room. My dad was, in fact, in the room, standing next to Jesse Jackson when Tukey Williams was given the lethal injection at San Quentin. So, I grew up around it. I grew up in newsrooms, in fact, in local newsrooms and in, the Fox News, West Coast bureaus and this kind of thing, as long as I can remember back. But as far as my mom goes, she's just a dedicated public servant, high-level public official. I don't really want to say more than that. She works in a sensitive area, but...
But she's a high-level public official?
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. She's done that her whole career, and she's a career, public employee. And so, but pretty basic childhood, played sports, did this, that, or the other. Was kind of, it's just kind of okay at sports. I always knew that I wasn't going to play in the NBA or play in the NFL. It was decent, but that was that. And graduated high school early, of course, because I was running a hedge fund. So I graduated a year early. Uh, But that was that.
I mean, you've done a lot. You're 22 right now?
Yeah, I'm 22, but I haven't really done a lot. I mean, I've got the in terms of just whether you like or you don't like the content of the resume. I've got a resume that basically has what you might expect from a 29-year-old who has an MBA, except I just started when I was 16. So it's not actually that I've done so much.
I thought you started when you were 8.
Well, that's poking around on the stock market. That's not managing other people's money and doing crazy stuff.
You were poking around on the stock market at 8 years old.
That's right.
So I do want to, can we talk about Wool Capital for a little bit?
Sure. To the extent that I can, I'm happy to talk about it.
I mean, what was going on with the LinkedIn? Right, you had a picture of Bar Raffaelli as like one of your employees.
No. You mean Surefire Intelligence?
Surefire Intelligence. My bad. Thank you.
Yes. Which one?
Surefire Intelligence.
Okay. So, the first thing to understand about Surefire is that the first day that the Krasenstein brothers began tweeting about it, which was actually the day before it broke and it was on the Today Show and the Tonight Show and all the rest, people began, one of the photos mismatched some celebrity or something. So that same day, people began publishing dozens of different profiles. Some of them had, I saw Christoph Waltz. I think there was a Leonardo DiCaprio. There was, there was like dozens and dozens and dozens of LinkedIn pages. When in fact,
so you're saying you didn't make those?
No. I certainly didn't make a page with Bar Raffaelli and Christoph Waltz and Leonardo DiCaprio. And I mean, I think there was Steven Seagal had a profile. I mean, it was pretty wild. But in the fog of war, how do you even get into that?
This was people meddling.
That's right. People meddling.
Wasn't the managing editor or the managing partner position linked to your actual LinkedIn though?
No, the only pseudonymous profile was in fact me as Matthew Cohen, which was a pseudonym that I used in the capacity of the investigation that we had done, and which was a.
So how would the people who have faked it known about your Matthew Cohen pseudonym? There's kind of a chicken and the egg situation.
No, that profile was not faked per se by other people. But once that profile went out, people started creating more and more. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a funny, side track or sort of side dish to the main story and all that.
I don't know if I believe. I don't believe that that's fake. I think you did make it, but it's hard to ask the questions I really want to ask. Because what I really want to ask is why you picked those pictures. Was it like an accident, or were you being kind of funny with it? Because it's like they're so obvious, yet they're not specific enough. They're not funny enough to make it worth faking. You know?
No. I don't know. I mean, why did people pick them? I don't know.
Brandon, that was your question. Your answer to that is that other people did that.
That's correct.
Interesting. Okay.
Is that all you wanted with that question, Brandon?
That's all. Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to know what was going on with the Bar Raffaelli pictures, the Christoph Waltz pictures.
Have you been to the White House?
Yeah, I've been to the White House a couple of times.
I wondered, I mean, for a while when you were early on, I thought you were kind of gunning for like a White House staff job. I think you probably could have gotten it if you wanted it first, or something close.
Oh, no. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in all that. No, I don't. I'm not interested in being a government employee. No.
You've wanted to be, a vigilante kind
the,
of
the only government rogue. Job. Yeah, the only government job that I will take, and I've put this on the record, is I'd be very much pleased to be Congresswoman Laura Loomer's chief of staff or comms director. I think that would be a lot of fun. But otherwise,
if she wins,
if she prevails in her race, which I think there's a decent chance of, if she prevails in her race, I would take that job, but otherwise I'm not interested in government.
Who's she running against?
She's running against Lois Frankel in Florida. And Lois Frankel is a, you know, longtime incumbent Democrat. And Laura's run a hell of a campaign. I'll tell you what, she's outraised the incumbent now 3 quarters in a row. Of course, it's a lot of national donations. Most people on the national stage haven't heard of Lois Frankel. They've heard of Laura Loomer.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how that race goes. I hear it's going very well. I talk to Laura regularly, and but that's the only government work that I might be interested in.
Brandon, do you have any?
Well, I had one question, post COVID, like a kind of a quarantine question. It's been going a while, right? And it's going at least 3 more months in LA. Which are you in? You're in LA right now. You're in Corona.
I'm in Orange California? County. Now. I'm in Irvine.
In Orange County. Today. Okay. Yeah. Do you miss the hipster coffee shops?
Well, I mean, the hipster coffee shops are a dear sacrifice in all of this, I will tell you, and many of them won't open back up. That was probably what I missed most about losing my Twitter is I wondered, I said, should I continue the hipster coffee shop series on Instagram or on...
Where was the hipster coffee shop?
Well, there was several. I would say where they were. Like, I'd go to Verve Coffee in West Hollywood, or I'd go to, you know, their other branch in downtown LA, or I brought a USA Today reporter to one of my hipster coffee shop spots in Costa Mesa, nearer to where.
Yeah,
where
interesting. Interesting this Verve. I've been wondering this for a long time because I'm kind of a coffee head myself, and I used to live near downtown LA, so I always wondered.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd go to a couple. I'd always specify where they were, but you know, I wondered, should I continue that series?
You're constantly just hearing, like, I'm at a hipster coffee shop. There's two liberals next to me talking about how, you know, hey, let's maybe give Trump a chance.
That's right. That's right.
Just like happening. This is just happening all the time at hipster coffee shop.
Well, it was anyway until now, but it's unfortunate. But well, really, until my Twitter ended, because I really had a serious conversation with myself about should I continue this. It's one of the great you could call it memes, I guess, or whatever you'd like to call it. But it's one of the great ones ever. I mean, it's just
I'll give you that. I will 100%.
And other people have ripped it off. I mean, George Papadopoulos has tried it, and you know, other people have tried it. There's Democrat versions of it that you hear sometimes, but it was a good one.
I'll never take that away from you, that you've become a meme.
I think those were your best tweets.
That was the golden era, 100%.
That was a golden era on Twitter, and I do.
It was a golden era, and I think, you know, it's just too bad. And I don't know. I mean, it's been nice to not have Twitter. I've got to tell you guys, it's been really just so nice to not have to comment on 26 topics a day, whatever's trending.
I mean, I agree with that. I agree that it's not great for your brain.
Jacob,
it's just it's not great for anything. It's just you just sit, you have to comment on this and that and the other thing, and it's just, do I really care to comment about this farm stimulus bill today? Not really. I don't really care.
Go
ahead, Jack.
Well, I guess I have a couple things I want to ask.
Sure.
I've heard you say something before that you said something along the lines of that men support Bernie Sanders because they can't get laid. And I thought that was really funny. A couple of things you've said, I've just been confused by. What makes you say something like that? What makes you believe something like that?
I actually don't think that I've said that. And I think you may have me confused with another conservative commentator.
Oh, this was, you were,
I want to know exactly what I said. I'm thinking back to that phone call I had with her. I guess this is,
well, either way, what do you think of that statement?
Well, I don't know that that's exactly what I said. I mean, I'd like to hear what I exactly told her. I'm sure she recorded the call, but I don't recall the exact context of what we were talking about. But what I think I may have been talking about was the ethos of the sort of Bernie bro, which is a which is a male feminist kind of operating system that they run on, and it's a very tough life, as I see it. I mean, these people live lives of tough and oftentimes quiet desperation, and you wonder. I mean, you wonder what's going on here, what's happening here.
What do you think? What's the connection between Bernie and, I mean, because it seems like you do believe that. So I was interested in that because I was just kind of like surprised.
I mean, because we were talking about Jesse Lee Peterson, and you know, he's a guy I get along with swimmingly, and I spoke at his conference, and that's what Tarp Lee was calling me about, as I recall. And, you know, he says things like real men are conservatives and this sort of thing. But I don't know. I'm just trying to parse it. I'm trying to parse what I might have been talking about. You guys, I mean, you have to understand, maybe this conversation is just much fresher in your minds than it is mine. Because I just...
Well, I guess...
Do you have a clip maybe? I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to...
We did play a clip.
They're intimately connected, and here's how. When you see men go out and support Bernie Sanders and support socialism, fundamentally what they're telling you is that they can't get laid. They can't get a date. That's what they're telling you.
Well, I think what the ethos is, there's just such an opportunity right now. I mean, it's like, this is America, you know? You can go to the gym, you can lift weights, you can buy an AR-15, you can support Trump, you can eat steak, you can have beautiful women at your beck and call on Tinder. I mean, life is good. Life is good. Or you could put on a pussy hat. You could eat Doritos. You could sit down. You could beg women for attention inside Bernie Slack groups. You could not work out. You could not own a gun. You could support Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's just all of these things kind of go together. It's really more than it is a political leaning. It's a total cultural thing. I mean, the Bernie phenomenon.
I'm confused.
I mean, I think most people exist somewhere with between that binary.
I was gonna say, what does lifting weights have to do with Donald Trump and sex?
It has everything to do with
because you're talking
Trump.
To
Donald
two guys
Trump
who have a good amount of sex that both support Bernie.
But Donald Trump is a man's man. It's like if you don't think he is.
You think so? I think he's kind of prissy.
He's
very dainty.
No,
he dodged the draft.
No. Donald
Objectively,
Trump, make the mistake.
I'm not a resistance person. Trust me, I'm not a resistance person. But I think, you know, he's very catty. He's obsessed with New York.
He's very catty.
No,
he's obsessed with He's obsessed with media gossip.
He's not a John Wayne type figure.
You search Graydon Carter from real Donald Trump. It's 1,000 tweets of him just being like Graydon Carter with his bad food restaurant.
His Oscar party is no longer hot.
His Oscar party is no longer hot. Like, I don't know if that's like really.
This is not a John Wayne Republican, you know. This is not exactly
ideal.
Ronald Reagan. Yeah, that's.
Well, I agree about Trump being, you know, certainly sort of into gossip and things. I mean, I don't know. If there's anything.
I guess my question is, what's the connection between Trump and masculinity?
Because
you were saying
if you go to the gym in any place besides, you know, Equinox West Hollywood, if you go to a gym anywhere else, any other gym I've been to in Boston, in Florida, in Cal, anywhere, all the guys lifting heavyweights love Trump. They do. I've never met one that doesn't. I mean, you just don't meet them. They don't exist.
I mean,
they love Trump.
Why is it?
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
You know,
what about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
They probably like Arnold too.
No, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't like Trump.
Oh, I think Arnold does get along with Trump. That's what I've heard recently.
I don't know about that, but
Arnold needs to keep. You know, Arnold's got a tough road to hoe.
So you think?
He's got to keep his Hollywood cred. And so
you think this is kind of like the opposite of the hipster coffee shop thing. So these are these weightlifters that you see, they support Trump. All the guys at the hipster coffee shop, they're saying one thing. All the guys at the gym lifting weights, they're saying pro-Trump stuff.
That's right. That's right.
All saying pro-Trump stuff. People at the hipster coffee shops and at the gym.
Yeah, they're actually.
Well, they actually, no, the ones at the hipster coffee shop are not necessarily saying pro-Trump stuff. what they're saying is that there's cracks in the very foundation of their belief system, and that that they're open, they're opening up, they're open-minded to the idea that Obama used the FBI to spy on the Trump campaign in a politically motivated illegal use of law enforcement. I mean, that's what I hear.
Let's get back to the main issue with the babes, though. So let's, like, following your logic, you know, you're talking about if you want to have sex, you got to be a Trump guy. But I mean, all the babes are on the left, Jacob. I mean, if you wanted to play a game of war with the babe cards, the left's going to win.
There's no, I mean, babes name
some,
on the left.
Name some Republican
whoa,
babes.
Who? Alyssa Milano? She's washed up.
That's not the MJ.
That's the first name that. She's that's well always the first
hump.
Name that people throw.
Is that,
at.
I mean, maybe I'm just not.
If
in
you
want to,
who's the right wing babe? If we're
Bernie babe endorsements.
I mean,
Amrata,
on the Dua Lipa, Ariana
Grande. The left,
right?
We have the
babes.
These
aren't left-wingers. These girls are not left-wingers. They don't know what they are. They just take orders from their agents and they tweet out.
So who are the right-wing babes?
I don't think it's actually in their agent's best interest for them to endorse Bernie. Because, like, he is anti-establishment compared to, like, you know, it makes sense for them to, like, endorse a Hillary or a Joe Biden.
Well,
I think you're right.
Actually, I think that you're right. But given Bernie's role, because you have to understand what Bernie is. Bernie's totally disingenuous. What Bernie is, somebody on the left called him this, and I can't remember who called him this, but they called him
some dodging here.
Bernie's job is to go out there and to block and tackle.
Come on, Jacob.
And to whip up the progressives into a frenzy and then to bring them home to vote for the establishment candidate. Bernie's job
While I do disagree with your position on Bernie Sanders, let me remind you, the question was about Republican babes. And
with Republican babes, basically everyone would start with Tommy Lahren, and then it only gets better from there. She's kind of the plain Jane. She's the, you know, the plain Jane.
So who's the one above that? I mean, because, like, Brandon threw out Amrata, who's, I'd say, widely recognized as, you know,
I threw out Amrata, Dua Lipa, Ariana.
So What's your response to the Amrata? Who's the Amrata of the right?
Oh, gosh. There's a million Instagram models who support Trump. I mean, it's just, you could go on and on and on. And I think they're much better looking, by the way, than her. I mean, she's very, very beautiful, of course. But I think you could throw out 100 Instagram models.
Just name one of them.
She's not an actress. Okay, let's be clear. She's a model. That's what she does. And that's fine. But she's not an actress. But on the right, you have many, 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 many babes. You have
Can you name one of them for us to look at?
For instance, let's just put it
name
this way.
Name five babes, bro.
Let's put it this way. And our babes are more commercially successful. You want to play the game of who's more commercially successful?
Yes.
Okay. Megyn Kelly is such a successful conserva babe.
Your first pick.
Don't you guys hate Megyn Kelly?
Yeah, I thought she
was able to make. I like Megyn Kelly.
She went against Trump and, like.
But she was a little bit short, misguided in the short term. But she's come around. She's a big time Trump supporter now, and you know, and that's that. But she's. I mean, she got paid $70 million by NBC to not even work, to just go away because her ripoff of Ellen's show was just so bad that they had to pull it off the air. I mean, that's a nice, you want to talk about a grift or a payday. I mean, that's, Jesus, does it get better than that?
I mean, your first example is somebody who you seem to have a very complicated opinion of.
I have a good opinion of her.
I view her as on the center now.
I
would question calling her a babe.
It's a different kind of look. I mean, it's a different kind of look, because what you have to understand is when you're an executive producer in cable television, you look for certain things, you know, long legs, big head versus shoulder ratio to fill out the box, you know, in the cable news, to fill out the box nicely. It's a different thing you're looking for. So, like, maybe she wouldn't look as good, you know, in risque Instagram posts, but you know, Emily Ratajkowski would look horrific on cable television. It would look ridiculous. She'd look spindly and weird.
What do you think about that?
I think she looks great on screen.
Oh, this is Megyn Kelly.
I mean, I guess we should close up pretty soon. I think we individually maybe ask one or two more questions?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's important to do and is that every time I do an interview, it goes wonderfully and then it ends and then the audience picks something up that we forgot to talk about or we missed. And I'm trying to think of what that might be here.
I mean, I could go on for hours. What do you have any regrets so far, Jacob? Not regrets, but if you could redo things, or is there anything you would redo?
Well, you could redo 100 things, but the reality is that all of it has brought me to a point that I'm very happy with. And it's only going to get better. I mean, we should add, if you think you've seen press conferences, you haven't seen press conferences. We're putting together things that are so big. I've spent all week pricing out helicopters in the Washington, D.C. area. I mean, this is going so big. This thing is going to be bigger than you ever imagined. We were screwing around in a primary before. In a primary, we were screwing around at a time when the guy we wanted held the highest office. I mean, that's kind of like play around stuff. Now we're going to get into the general election. And if you thought 2016 was crazy, I mean, this is going to be this is going to become known as the election of the deep fake. I predict that. So it's going to be wild. So I don't regret anything because it's led me here and I'm very happy with that. And so I can't say that I would have done anything differently. I mean, everyone would have said, I would have done this, I would have done that, but you don't get to do that. You don't get to go back and wear this tie instead of that tie at a press conference. That's where most of my regrets lie, is in my choices in wardrobe, which I feel have become significantly more refined over the years.
So, it's interesting to talk to you because, you know, you don't slip up. And you're good with your words and there's no way I'm going to break through. I guess really only you'll know the truth when you lie down at night and go to bed. But I guess, you know, if all of that is true, where do you want to go in the future? What's your plan going forward? Where do you imagine yourself? Are you 22?
I'm 22.
22. Yeah. That's so young. Like where do you want to be when you're 30 with this? Because you've even just 4 years ago, you were investing and you wanted to be a big investor. Now you're over here doing the OnlyFans. I guess that is kind of FinDom in a way, but
yeah, I guess.
But where do you want to go? You've been all over the place. What I don't know the trajectory, and where do you hope you're going to go with this?
Well, what I find is that my life is totally unpredictable. I mean, things just turn on a dime. I get home from the gym one day and I get a notification on my phone because, of course, I had the notification set for when Trump would tweet. That way I could reply to his tweets. And then I see my tweet. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? Is this a glitch? And then I look and he's retweeted me. And then he does it again and again and again. So, you know, my life works in very different ways than I think, you know, most people's does. The volatility of my life, which mostly airs towards the upside and mostly goes to the upside, is very
high. Your life a movie, bro?
Well, maybe that's where it goes. I mean, right now we're working on a couple of HBO is making two other documentaries as we speak, and I've been very busy with that. But so I don't know where will I be at 30? Who knows?
Where do you want to be though?
Where do I want to be? If everything moves in the same direction that it's moving now, then I'll be very happy. If I'm just a little bit physically better looking, I'll be happy. If I'm a little bit financially better off than I am now, it'll be great. You know, in terms of, personal relationships, probably down the same line, or maybe not. We'll see. But
for the listeners at home, are you single, Jacob?
No, I'm not single at the moment.
Ooh, what's the status?
You've teased the girlfriend on OnlyFans, but
yeah, people can subscribe to her to her OnlyFans as well. It's Veronica Lanskaya, and there's links. You can find links if they don't know how to spell that.
Veronica name. Lynn, what is it?
Lanskaya.
Lanskaya, is that one word?
Yeah, one word at the end of the link. Veronica Lanskaya.
Weird that wasn't the first babe that you listed.
Yeah, I mean, well, is she a Republican?
Wait. What do you mean?
Well, when we were talking Republican babes, you listed off Tommy Lahren.
She's not a Republican public figure. She's just a gal. She's just, you know,
she doesn't adhere to the same political beliefs as you.
No, she adheres even more strictly than I do. I mean, she makes me look like a leftist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess we
how'd
only
you guys
have,
meet anyway?
Oh, well, yeah. Good question, Jack.
We met at the Trump Hotel in D.C.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's
is this a long relationship?
Is it a long relationship?
Have you guys been dating for a while?
I've known her since August of last year.
Okay. So you guys were you together the whole time? It's kind of serious.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I've got another one who's, you know, works in the administration, who, you know, works at a high level in the administration, who I date.
Another girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. And it works out. Everyone's on the same page. There's no, you know, there's no deception or weirdness, but you know,
Is this a YBS exclusive that two women are in a polycule with Jacob Wool?
Well, I don't know about all of your hipster language there, but the rules are that, you know, they have to share and I don't. And so that's
not a polycule, Brandon, I don't think. I don't think that's a polycule if he's separately dating them both.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
So
I
one's
see.
A high level figure and one's an OnlyFans. And they're good with it.
Yeah, yeah. One's a high level White House figure. One has an OnlyFans page and the other one has a top secret clearance. Yeah.
Okay. Best of both worlds, some may say.
Some may say, and I think so. I mean, one, you know, her handle on English is not the best, and the other one speaks English in about four other languages.
Where's the first one from? What's her first
language? She's originally from Ukraine, and her first language is Russian and Ukrainian.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You guys met at the Trump Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the resistance people might be, their ears might be perking up hearing that, Jacob.
The connection.
A lot of the Russiagate people.
The back channel. The back channel's been discovered.
Yep.
Man. Okay, I guess I have one two-parter. First off, are you afraid of going to jail? What's your ab workout?
Yeah, real quick, I should add, it was interesting because I was in Ukraine right up until the story, you know, broke, right around the time that the story broke. I was in Ukraine from, July, very beginning of July to almost the end of August. And then I was back in D.C. But when I got back and this whole Ukraine thing played out, everyone who knew me was saying, "What were you doing over there? You were working with Rudy, weren't you?" And it was just, you know, I figured I was going to get dragged into some testimony in front of Congress, but unfortunately I wasn't.
Wow.
And now to your question, I have no legal concerns. That's what I can say to that question. I have zero legal concerns. I'm very confident and certainly with everything that we do, Jack and I and myself separately, but always seek the best and brightest legal advice that you can get and make sure that everything is well within the letter and spirit of the law.
Excellent. Brandon, did you have another question?
I was wondering about the ab workout.
The truth is I don't do anything crazy with abs. I do some rollouts here and there, and I do some my favorite ab workout, of course, you can't really do it without a gym, is the rope crunches. In other words, you get kind of on your knees and you do a kind of a reverse crunch holding the rope and pulling some weight. You can do it with bands. It doesn't work quite as well, but that's probably my favorite.
Great. Well, I do want to say, I don't think we agree on most things. I'm very vocally a Bernie guy, right? But I do think, objectively, I think something we can all agree on is that you are shredded. You've got to, you're a shredded dude.
This is something that's interesting. And it's always good to talk to Bernie. Bernie bros are so much more grounded to reality than the establishment people. The establishment people, you don't know if they're lying to you or they're just totally bereft of any fact or reason, but the Bernie people really believe what they say. And that I can certainly respect. And I agree with them on a lot. I don't think we should be handing out trillions of dollars to banks and letting them decide who gets bailouts and who doesn't. I think it's lunacy. So I'm with the Bernie people on a lot of things, and you should know that. And it's just interesting on the internet, as to your second point, you know, half the people say there's no difference between the before and after pictures. And the other half of the people say, yeah, I could do that too if I was on steroids and HGH. It's just like, you don't know. So it's like, have I gotten in better shape or not? I'm not sure if I look on the internet.
I think over time, I'd agree. I've seen you, you know, we're talking young Jacob versus now. I can give you that. You've gotten buff.
The results speak for themselves, and that is something we're not
gonna, I hope so.
We're not going to fight you on that. We do
so.
Agree that
so.
You know, Jacob Wall has a rocking bod.
Well, Jacob, it's been interesting to talk to you. I don't understand you exactly. I think it's been interesting. I'm curious to see where you go. I don't know what else to say. Brandon, do you have anything?
Well, you know, thanks for being so generous with your time, Jacob. You know.
You bet. It was really a lot of fun.
All right, Jacob. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Oh my God, Brandon. What do you do? What do you so for the listeners, like, we really did just hang up the call. Oh my God. What do you think of that? What did you think? How are you feeling?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's consistent.
Dude, it's mind boggling. I'm like, my heart's thumping, by the way. Just cause like,
yeah,
it was such a roller coaster of emotions. It's so confusing to talk to him, and I have no idea what the listeners at home are thinking right now. It's very, very weird to talk to him.
I thought it was actually, I mean, yeah, I think he was very easy to talk to.
He was actually very easy to talk to, but
yeah.
Okay, so the way I would describe, okay, so first of all, there are so many, like, everything he says is a lie. To the point where it's everything he says is a lie. To the point where, like, I was noticing, you know, it'd just be like silly and counterproductive as an interviewer to call him out on all of them. Cause, like, we tried to get a couple of them, but then it's just like, you know, I'm detecting little ones all over the place. Like, for instance, one that pops up, I mean, dude, I think his girlfriend's fake. Like, yeah, when he was telling me about the Russian girlfriend, I, like, looked her up on OnlyFans, and it's like this default picture, and she has 12 posts and two videos, and actually it doesn't see how many she has, but it doesn't look very active. It looks like a fake account that somebody made, and like,
oh, yeah.
I suspect Jacob's probably trying to just make money off two accounts and like maybe just like stealing pictures or something. But I started, like, you know, I was giggling, then I'm like, wait, why? He's like, even literally doing the, you know, we wouldn't know my girlfriend, she lives in Ukraine lie.
Right.
It's like, wait, like, dude, what?
Yeah.
And then like the high-powered government official, but there's like, there's little ones.
Got a main bitch, got a mistress.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple girlfriends. I'm so hood rich,
dude.
But so wild.
So it's
so funny that he claims to have one girlfriend that is very high up in the federal government.
Yeah, non-specific. I mean,
yeah, non-specific. But she's got full federal, you know, government clearance.
There are so many moments of that, but I'd say my main reaction is like, the experience of talking to him is like, he is out of his mind, right? And like, he's constantly lying, but he's so confident with his lies, and he sticks to them so hard to his own detriment, right? Where it's like actively like not even benefiting him to a certain point, where it's like you actually start feeling insane when you talk to him. Like, you know, like, it's, you start feeling crazy because he's so confident in his lies, and they're not even good lies, that you start losing your mind because it's
I guess Elizabeth Warren is an S&M dominatrix.
It's like, it's easier because you kind of have to give him ground if you want to keep the conversation flowing. Cause he'll like throw so many lies at you.
I mean, like, I could have kept talking to him for hours.
Yeah, cause he's not gaining anything from the lies. That's the thing.
Yeah,
the experience interviewing him, it's like he's telling lies. That there's like, I'm hearing them. I'm like, okay, that's not true. But he doesn't really gain anything over me by saying it. It doesn't really help prove his points at all. And then the other thing is that where he's like, he lies, but he tells the truth with it. Like, I pointed it out that one time. It's hard to describe. Like, that one time where he's like, he says that Don Lemon hit on him, and it was on video, but the videos were all erased from the internet. And then he goes on and he's like, but he did hit on me, and it's very well documented. And I'm like, wait, Jacob, like, it's not well documented. By definition, it's not, because you just said it was scrubbed from the internet. So, like, whether or not it happened, it isn't well documented.
Like, but then he, well, you like said something about it, and he was like, well, I guess that's just a little thing called juxtaposition.
Yeah. And it's like, and that response is so funny. It's just like, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to like call you out even at this point. It's just like really funny that you do that. It's like cartoonish.
Yeah, I mean,
it's cartoonish.
I'm glad we got the exclusive.
And then, yeah, it was funny. I was like kind of worried about him being really cunning. He is like, he's smart and cunning. I'll give him that. He's like, he's something, right? He's something. But it is funny because I could tell, like, me and you, I was taking it pretty seriously the whole time. I'm sure the audience will be able to hear when both of us started getting silly. The babe discussion was when we were both getting really silly.
Sure.
When he couldn't name the babes.
Oh, yeah. Feet to the fire, could not name a single Republican babe. And then...
Name one babe, bro. Name one
later,
babe.
Later, he fucking... Well, I mean, I guess he named he named Tommy Lahren and Megyn Kelly. And then later, when he was talking about his OnlyFans GF, right, he was like, oh, yeah, oh, well, I don't include her in that. Oh, she's not political. One second, he's like, oh, you know, she's not really political. She doesn't really speak English. And then, like, the next second, he's like, oh, yeah, like, she actually makes me look like a leftist.
He's very well-spoken and confident. It shows how far you could get by just... being really confident with what you say.
Oh, 100%.
And not saying which is literally like all we do.
Yeah, it's
if me and you just stop
you know,
because that's like his own.
You edit
things.
Out the ums and the likes, and it's we have a 10-minute podcast.
Yeah, there, I just did it right there. But
but that's also just how people talk generally.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know?
You know, he was just, I don't even know where to start with him. It was hilarious. What were your favorite parts? I mean, the sad thing and part of the thing where it makes you feel insane is that, you know, if Ann Coulter, well, I was saying this to you before, we debated whether or not we should do this, but I was saying, like, I wouldn't have Ann Coulter on this show. Because people actually, she has credibility, and she can actually still do damage because people believe her, and she has credibility in her own circles. She may not have credibility in ours, but she does other places. And she has something to gain from it. Gaining something from it. So I don't even know where I was going. My mind's literally like all over the place after that.
I mean, like, we would not have Steve Bannon on the podcast.
There's like reason to argue with them a bit more, you know?
Sure.
What was I even talking about with Jacob before? My mind, I feel like I just got off a roller coaster. I'm like a little disoriented.
It is disorienting. It was a wild, very fascinating convo.
It's, so I guess I think maybe what I was saying is that, those people have had they have a clear benefit from this, right? Like, they're making money. They're making money. They have a career, and for all of the ridiculous things they do, if you were to argue with them, it makes sense because they're making money off this. They're in a way doing their job. With Jacob, even though he denies it, it's pretty observably true that this has had negative impacts on his life. And I mean, to me as an observer, I'd say it ruined his life. He may not realize it now, but at 22, being that infamous, as you said, the boy who cried wool. I mean, no matter how you look at it, I know he's...
I'm glad I got that one in there.
I know. I mean, one of his big lies was he was saying he has all these private sector contracts. We all know that's a lie. I mean, like, dude, you wouldn't have... Why are you... why do you have an OnlyFans?
You couldn't have an OnlyFans.
Yeah. Why do you, not only that, but like you wouldn't need to have an OnlyFans.
Right.
You wouldn't like even be thinking about it, I guess.
You wouldn't be on Cameo.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a Cameo. We don't have Cameo. I'm not I'm not above it for I mean, I wouldn't be above it if I needed to be. Right now, I think we're doing okay, so I don't need to have a Cameo. Yeah. If you see me on there one day, you'll know it's not going well.
You'll know, things did not turn out the way I planned in my life.
But
if I'm on Cameo. But.
So like we know the private sector stuff, he says that, but it's like, all right, man, like it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I don't care, Jake. Like I wanted to say is like, dude, I don't care if you're getting advertising work. Like I'm going to hang up and I'm going to go back into my life. Like I don't care. Like I'm actually
you don't need to impress us.
Yeah, you don't need to impress us. Like I really don't give a shit. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, it's kind of beyond what I think of you, cuz I mean it doesn't really matter if I think you're a successful or unsuccessful piece of shit, right? Like at the end of the day, you do vile stuff. Like the fact that you're not getting paid for it is just confusing. And that's on you. Like that's what I was saying. Like really, like the only person this matters to is you at the end of the day when you go to sleep. Like to me, he's kind of ruined his life, and that's sad. And I don't understand still after talking to him why. Because even if he thought this was gonna, I could imagine worlds where he thought it was gonna pay off at various points. In fact, dude, if I was in his shoes getting retweeted by Donald Trump, I would be a believer. I'd be like, this path is going fucking well. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But
that's the thing that's been keeping you from being a Trump supporter is that hasn't retweeted you.
No. But like, yeah. But in terms of like playing on that team, like, you know, that's a home run.
Sure.
100%.
Yeah.
So it's weird, and it's like maybe even I can understand where he's coming from doing the Robert Mueller thing. I don't think it's good. I think it's very bad.
Yeah.
And I also, let me be very clear, I suspect that he's doing very, very bad things to convince these people to, you know, lie for him.
Right. Like I don't know if I really went as hard as I could have, but you know, I do want to be on record that I think it is bad that he has put out so many false rape allegations.
100%.
I want to be on record that I think that is a bad thing to do.
The only reason it's like not, I mean, the only reason he's on the podcast and the only reason he's like able to be on it, whether or not we allow him, is that they're so unbelievable that no reasonable person, there's no damage because no reasonable person believes it. Like they're so ridiculous. But it's still, you know, what I was saying is like doing the first one, maybe you could understand like making that bad decision as him. But after the second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one, where you're just getting laughed at and then people are not taking you seriously.
I mean, since even the Mueller press conference was like the only one that got, you know, that's the one that got the most attention by far.
Yeah.
And yeah, reporters are just openly laughing at him at the thing. But I think that also like doesn't really, I think that's actually like good for what he wants, because that's his whole thing is like being, you know, anti-establishment.
The weird thing about it is
even though he is ultimately just like very pro-establishment, his whole thing, like his come up was being a reply guy to the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
I'm the guy that likes the president the most.
Yeah. I'm here to support the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
That's always a funny thing that I've thought of is very amusing about the Trump people, is that like this guy that they say is so powerful and alpha, like why would he need your help? Like if he needs you to defend him, is he inherently that alpha? That was another the Trump stuff was funny. That was like a time where it was Trump, like fun. It was like, dude, Trump, what you think stuff, he's a man's man? Like
I wish we did talk about it a little more just in terms of like, you know, when has Donald Trump lifted one weight?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's like,
yeah,
it's like the weird shape. Well, the, like I said, talking to Jacob makes you go insane, and like,
right,
you start, your up and down kind of goes away, and you, you start kind of like following a new measurement of good and bad. And by that point,
right,
my measurement of good and bad adapted to Jacob's standards, which to
you
me,
get you get caught in the riptides a little bit.
Jacob's standards for me by the end was like, okay, if Jacob engages the question on its merits, that means,
yeah,
like you're kind of like, he dodges when he knows you're right, you know, he'll like dodge completely, you know, and just,
yeah,
like move away. If he argues, then he thinks he's got something on you, you know? So like, if,
yeah,
he's like, if he like laughs it off and tries to change the subject, I kind of like interpret it as like, okay, we already kind of won this one and he's not going to engage us any further.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
the Trump stuff. He was just kind of like laughing that off. And I'm like, all right, we got him here. Like, that's like his tell for when he knows we're right. Cause he'll never admit,
right,
it, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I said the sun is up right now, he would say,
break,
well, no, not necessarily. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. What's wild is he's more dedicated to being Jacob Wool than anybody I can think of is dedicated to anything. Can you?
Yes.
Like, I'd say that he's more, yeah, dedicated to being Jacob Wool than Michael Jordan was to basketball. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan,
yeah,
took time off from basketball because it was too,
right,
much. Jacob Wool,
no days
might
off,
go to his grave doing this.
Yeah.
For no benefit.
I mean, if the, you know, I do think, his actions aside, many of which are, you know, fucking, you know, just like objectively kind of, you know, despicable, very,
yes,
bad. Those actions aside, just talking to him man to man, I was like, yeah, I could keep talking to this guy. Like, he is like easy to talk to.
Yeah, he wasn't awkward.
I mean, no.
He knows how to talk.
Like, he definitely was like, he seemed like, you know, pretty friendly.
Yeah. Which is interesting. That's another thing about him is that like, we should be his enemy, right? And I got to the sense,
sure,
that he was getting along with us, even though he knows we're going to make fun of him, you know?
And he for sure knows that we did a whole episode.
Yeah.
That was just us making fun of him without him being there. And, you know,
and
we fucking like, it's very public. He had to have, there's no way he didn't know.
There's so many little things,
yeah,
that like should upset him or trip him up that didn't. For instance, when,
yeah,
we, this was kind of a mistake. I don't know if you thought it was a mistake, but you told him that Tarpley quoted him on that, which was,
oh,
from,
yeah,
an article that never came out, right?
Right, because
that
she
should have tripped him up.
Allowed, she was not allowed to go to the men's conference because they found out she's a woman.
That should have tripped him,
yeah,
up, but it didn't. Like, he didn't mind a lot of like alarming things that like to me would have, like if that happened to me in an interview where I was the interviewee, I would be like, oh, what? Like a reporter,
oh, right,
told you, you know, like I'm in a weird trap. But he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He knew the entire time, I think.
Doesn't miss a beat.
It's,
I mean,
like,
he had to have known that Tarp like was on the podcast.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
talked about.
And he,
yeah,
I mean, he knew it's not even a trap. It's just like he doesn't care. Which would,
right,
make sense if there was like a much, much, much larger goal. But I don't know what that is. He doesn't even say that there is. I mean, I asked him directly.
Yeah.
It's pretty baffling.
Yeah.
More than anything, that was funny. What other parts stick out to you?
I don't know. I mean, well, I'm a little bummed that I didn't. I brought up the hipster coffee shop thing, but I never brought up any of the like fake location cigar pics.
Oh well. Oh, dude. Well,
he's like in his backyard, and he's like, "What's up, chilling in Italy?"
Of course. Well, because it would have been kind of pointless for you to bring that up. We, dude, I know what he would have said. Anybody listening to this by the end would know what he would say, too. He'd be like, oh, no, those are different cigar shops. You know, they're actually owned by the same guy who is actually a good friend of mine. He's a very successful man. But he, he used the same tile in his shops. But I, because he's a good friend, I go to them. But they're in several different locations. He even has one in Miami. He would say something like that. But it's interesting because there are little things throughout it that I didn't point out. But, like, he slipped up on a couple current lies, one of which you got him to admit that he's in Irvine right now, which is his parents' house.
Oh, and he says he's in Florida.
He says he lives in Miami now. He's been telling everybody he lives in Miami. Yeah. So he has let that slip.
Yeah.
But once again, if you called him out, he would, we know what he would say too. Be like, oh yeah, well, I mean, I do maintain a house in Miami, but I've been worried about my parents. Even though I don't take this virus seriously, the economy and who knows what the liberals would do. I thought it would be best if I'm back here, you know?
Yeah.
I looked up when he was talking about his dad being involved in that case, the Tukey Williams case or whatever. I like looked it up, and he wasn't involved in the actual case. It seems like, just from the blurb I read while we were interviewing him, it looked like his dad was able to go watch the execution as a civilian. So that, and it sort of looks like he did that so that he could go on like Nancy Grace and stuff and talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's so like, I wonder if just like he's just learned exactly from his dad, you know?
Right.
And I barely got to skim that, but I guess like I always wonder, like, how did Jacob become Jacob? Maybe his dad was like this his whole life, you know?
Yeah. I liked that he would. I had one slip up where I was talking about Surefire Intelligence and I accidentally said Wool Capital, and he was very quick to be like, "Oh no, you're talking about a different lie."
Yeah,
yeah.
No, yeah. He helped you. I thought that was funny.
He helped me. He helped me on that.
And then just like a bold faced denial.
He was never hostile.
No, he was very calm.
No, very calm.
The weird, and then once again, like even that conversation, it was just like he's telling us this lie that doesn't make sense, like like that people made the LinkedIn with his secret name that he admits to using. Like, how would they have known the name to make the fake account? And then he's saying like, oh well, no, after the fake account came out, people were making the details. It's like, dude, that doesn't make sense,
right?
At all. Like, what?
Yeah,
I saw it. Like, I saw the page.
Yeah. Yeah. A plus B does not equal C here.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, dude, that was a long time coming. It was interesting to talk to him, but I still don't have like the big answer to the big question I've been wondering the whole time, which is like, why?
Right.
I feel like I'm not even close.
I mean, we kind of strategized before the call, and we're just kind of like, we got to figure out what his end game is. Like, what is, in his words, what are his intentions at the end of all of this? What does he want? And it still feels unclear, but maybe that's, you know, maybe the destination is the journey, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My brain's kind of melted from this. I know. Trust me. I know a lot of people who lie compulsively, and similar symptom where it's like, you start feeling crazy in talking to them, even though they're the liar, right? Because you have to like, in order to keep the conversation going, you have to like play on their turf a bit.
Sure.
And their turf is just so bizarre. To even like carry out a conversation, you have to keep like giving them ground. But the difference is like all of those people I know, like they aren't harming their life, at least not a lot, by keeping the lies going. They're just still, they're doing whatever they're doing and they're lying, right? Like a person who works at McDonald's and is on Instagram saying he's a CEO, it's not making his life at McDonald's worse, you know?
Right.
If a nameless person is cleaning hospitals and says that they're a surgeon on Twitter, hypothetically, it doesn't make his job cleaning the hospitals, they're working in the Amazon warehouse worse. Where right. Jacob's, it's like, it is his life. He's living the lie. And not only is it making his life harder, it's making his ability to lie harder.
Right.
You know? So yeah. It's so different. And I can't help but kind of look at him as a tragic figure at the end, even though he's
objectively
bad. As bad as he is, I still look at him. I'm 22 is not a kid, but he is kind of a kid still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, I regret most of, I regret most of 23.
And he's been doing this. Like, he's been doing this in the time that you're supposed to like grow.
Sure.
And I kind of just like, it doesn't make his actions better.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel bad. And like near the end, I like had this urge. Oh, I mean, you can't break through to him, but I wanted to like go serious and be like, Jacob, like, I don't like you, but dude, you should just stop, man. Like you should literally stop and like, you know, try to figure something out because I mean, it's probably too late, but it's only going to get worse. Like you should literally get out of the game and like just live your life, man. Like,
yeah.
Cause this is not going to like best case scenario. You're unemployable. Worst case scenario. Right. You're in jail.
You're in jail.
And like,
but he's not afraid of jail.
Worst case scenario. You're not only in jail, but you fucked up so bad that like, even if you had a family, like their lives are worse, and anybody with your last name, their life is worse now because you did what you did. Like,
yeah,
like
besmirched
even people that aren't related to you, like for the same reason that there aren't people with the last name Hitler anymore, which is an extreme example.
Likewise,
why Epstein is a unfortunate last name to have right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's like, it makes, they all know who he is, you know?
Yeah.
Or Madoff. If you met somebody with the last name Madoff, what's the first thing you're thinking of? Not them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for him in a sense. Even
that was actually when I have that, I've had that Bernie sign up for a while now, but nobody ever asked which Bernie I was talking about. It was Madoff. So,
oh god.
I've actually been campaigning for I was canvassing for Bernie Madoff.
All right. On that note, I think we could end it.
Yeah.
I think this is one for the books, dude.
One for the books. Absolutely.
And payoff.
Absolute all-timer.
A long time coming.
Wow. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.